that almost makes me want to dance. Can I do that if I'm a Christian?
We just need to change the country there.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been to the USSR, and you don't want to go back there.
That's right. This is Chuck King. I'm on the air this morning for Bo Mitchell again, and today I get the real treat of interviewing my co-host, Bob Belts.
And you're listening to You Get the Blessing. And again, Bo's not here, Chuck, because he's with the Rockies this morning. I think he's probably doing their chapel service. And we want to remember to be praying for him. And he does a great job at that, obviously. So,
well, like Bo, there's a guy by the name of Bob Belt who cuts a pretty wide swath. It's not clear to me, it's not clear to any of us exactly what you do. We know you ride a motorcycle to do it. We know you preach on Sundays, and we know you show up in Hollywood a lot. So tell us about Bob Belt. What's Bob Belt up to these days?
Well, Chuck, I'd tell you, but then I'd have... No, just kidding. You know, Chuck, a number of years ago, actually before I stepped into the senior pastor role at Highline, a friend of mine bought a film company, and what he wanted to do was simply to utilize this extremely powerful medium of film and media to promote more positive values. He really didn't start out to necessarily, do Christian movies, blatantly Christian, but he also did want to have the ability, if the right project came along, not to shy away from that, which at the time, there was virtually nothing being done. This was pre-Passion, and there was a tremendous anti-Christian bias in Hollywood. I would say not only philosophically, but people just thinking, well, if you make a religious film, it's not going to make any money. And of course, that's been proved to be radically wrong thinking, and that the Christian community is a very underserved market. But so he wanted to make, family-friendly kind of films, but also to be able to make some films with a little stronger message. And he asked if I would kind of come on board with him as a consultant, generally speaking. And I actually, it's funny because my first experience, even knowing he was thinking along these lines, was that he called me into his office one day and he stuck a book out at me and said, "Would you read this book and tell me what you think? Because I just bought a film company and they want to make a movie out of this." And, kind of shocked me. And then he kind of laid out his mission statement. I want to make movies that are, family friendly. You could take your grandkids, your grandparents, like you used to be able to. I don't want to make things that are filled with, gratuitous sex and violence and language. And that was sort of this mission statement he'd come up with. And so, he wanted me to check the book to make sure it was okay. Well, I started reading the book, and the book was just completely filled with foul language, violence, gratuitous, everything he didn't want to do. And so I wrote a little kind of a white paper, and I said, "Here's 10 reasons why you don't want to make this into a film. Or if you make it, here's 10 things that they would have to be willing to change." And called me back in his office and said, "Would you fly out to Los Angeles on Monday and meet with the writer and producer and see if we can get things squared around?" And that's kind of what I've been doing, for the last 13 years now, I guess. So we made the films like The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, and Prince Caspian, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, that are films that have a very strong faith content. We've made other films that are just kind of fun and based on, best-selling young adult novels. But the thing that happened almost 4 years ago now was that I had was reading the morning paper. I was reading USA Today, and there was an article on the front of it about how that Mark Burnett, who is arguably the biggest television producer in the world, almost invented reality TV in some way. So he created Survivor, he created The Voice, he created The Apprentice, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Shark Tank, I mean, on and on and on. And it said that he and his wife, Roma Downey, that used to play Monica the Angel on Touched by an Angel, were going to do a 10-part series on the story of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation on the History Channel. And I was so, I sort of had mixed feelings. I read that and I thought, this is exciting that somebody of his caliber is going to do that. And then they sort of the other side of the equation was I really was wishing we were the ones that were doing that. And so I happened to call my friend and say, hey, you ought to, you know, see this article or whatever. And without me knowing it, my friend called Mark Burnett. And I think he said something to Mark like, he was encouraging him, saying, I'm not sure I want to invest in the project. And Mark said, we don't need any money, which my friend said, nobody's ever said that to me before. but I do have, a friend of mine that's worked on all of our films that might be helpful because this is his area of expertise. And so long story short. Actually, I've already made it long. Wait.
That's great.
I just got introduced to Mark and Roma and was involved in the Bible series as a consultant trying to, make sure that we kept pushing things back to accuracy. Won some battles, lost some battles, and then was part of Son of God, the movie. And then for the last 2 years have been working with them on what is a follow-up to the Bible series that is airing currently on Sunday nights on NBC called AD.
People need to tune into that tonight. I'm recording it, and I can't wait to see it.
You know, the thing that really opened the door on a lot of this, and it's interesting because we've just been through the Easter season, and there was so much, so many opportunities to watch different, shows. I mean, it seemed like everybody was doing something about Jesus, killing Jesus, CNN doing Finding Jesus, and really some pretty good stuff. The thing I think that opened the door to a lot of that was the fact that the Bible series had such an amazing success record. And, the first week of the Bible back when they aired it and on the History Channel, which is not, I mean, if the History Channel gets a million viewers for one of their shows, they feel like they've really, done well. And that first Sunday night, the Bible had 13 million viewers, which was the largest viewing audience they'd ever had, but it also was, more people watching it than 60 Minutes or some of the other programming. And the success of that over the, I think, 10 weeks that it was on, over 100 million people watched some part of that series. And it really, again, kind of opened the eyes, I think, to people in LA and this time in the TV arena, particularly that, hey, there's some opportunities here. And NBC, of course, came to Mark and said, hey, we'd like to do something. And he said, well, how about doing the sequel? And so AD generally, the very first episode aired on Easter Sunday. And it was it did quite well. It particularly focused in, it tried to kind of give a backdrop to what's coming to those that didn't watch the Bible series, because AD is really going to kind of pick up from the resurrection of Christ and begin telling the story of the early church as it's contained in the book of Acts. And yet, so for those that didn't have the background, they decided to do an episode on the crucifixion and an episode the second Sunday night, which was last Sunday. The second Sunday night would have been then on the resurrection. And now we're getting into the part of the story where we're really going to begin to see what happened in the early church. And along with that, I think the thing about AD that's makes it so very interesting and compelling is that we try to also show what's going on around the book of Acts. So looking a little bit more into what's happening in the Roman Empire, which has a tremendous influence on the early church, but there's a lot of things that probably most people that even know the Bible don't know what was happening in the Roman Empire. And then at the same time, at least for the first up through 70 AD, you still have the Jewish community, and the Jewish community, which is under, again, Roman authority, and they're constantly clashing. And now you have this new reality of these followers of Jesus, and the Romans aren't quite sure who they are, and the Jewish community doesn't know what to do with them. And so you've got this kind of three-way drama going on. And I think AD does a great job of kind of showing all of that in the mix.
I think there are several things at play there. One is what you just said is evidence of the fact that number one, the Bible is compelling. It really does draw people to it. And Hollywood had it all wrong when they said, no, we don't think this stuff will sell. The second is, there seems to me to be a fascination, even among unbelievers, with the, all kinds of spiritual things today. You know, starting a few years ago when the whole angel program came out and all those programs, people started, there's a thirst for something more meaningful than the stuff that we normally see.
Yeah, I think you're right. And again, that's being reflected in an openness to all kinds of things. You know, Mark and Roma, who, because again, they've sort of become the go-to couple in Hollywood on these kinds of things, and major studios are coming to them, and I think it was Universal came to them and asked if they would produce a remake of Ben-Hur. So that has just finished filming and is in post-production. They've also are going to do a feature-length film on the life of the Apostle Paul. So there's a lot that's happening. And again, it's interesting because the audience isn't all, as you're saying, it isn't all, you know, the kind of the church crew. But people, you know, we live in what is been described as the most biblically illiterate culture in American history. And there was a time when these stories were quite well known, part of our, you know, historically part of classic education. And yet you can talk to someone on the street today and ask very basic questions about the Bible, and most young people won't have any idea what you're even talking about.
Unfortunately, even in a lot of churches, you can find that. You know, the interesting thing is that for years, I always laughed that at Easter time would come around and the networks would say, well, this is a religious holiday, so they'd always play Ben-Hur or some Old Testament movie and totally ignore the point.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so so I think one of my questions is, are Mark and Roma, did they get into this because they are believers, because they wanted to bring the gospel forward, or was it just an opportunity for them to attract an audience?
It's quite an interesting story, and you know, I think that Roma early on was probably a little further down the road in her spiritual journey than Mark was, but they were actually at the BBC. And while they were there, the BBC was kind of pitching them on this program that they wanted to produce. And what it was it just shredded the Bible, you know, tear it all apart, you know, and on and on. And the more they listened to this idea being pitched, the more disturbed they became. And they kind of walked out of the meeting and looked at each other and said, you know what we really should do is, why don't we actually tell the story? Let people make their own decisions, but, you know, most people don't even know this great story. So that was a lot of the motivation. And then they began to try and find someone that would, you know, would air it. And they got some rejections. And even the History Channel at first said, well, why don't we just do the Old Testament? Interesting that you've just said that, you know, see how that goes. And they said, no, you know, because from the beginning, what they wanted to show is how that the story really ties together from beginning to end. And that at the heart of all of it is Jesus. And so they said, no, we want to do the whole thing. And then the next thing that was said to them was something along the lines of, okay, but tone that Jesus stuff down, you know? So anyway, you know, so it's a story again that it's amazingly, you know, filled with drama and conflict and excitement, and certainly I would have to say that again, in our culture today, most people don't think that way when they think of the Bible.
Well, but to their credit, they had the intellectual honesty to say, for at least what you've told me before, is that they said, we want to get this right. And they went to somebody who's a real scholar who knows how to do this stuff. And what a blessing that your friend, by the way, I've never had a friend call me up and say, I just bought a movie company.
Yeah, you know, that same friend one time I went to dinner with in at the Plaza in New York, and we walked into the room where we were having dinner, and he looked around and said, I bought a railroad here one time. And I said, I don't have a lot of friends that can say that.
But what a tribute to him and to you that he was bold enough to step forward and say, hey, let's reach out to these people. And what a tribute to Mark and Roma that they were willing to listen, because from what you've told me, they were willing to listen.
Yeah, they really were. And, you know, my first experience with them after we talked and I'd been out and met with them. And again, they had expressed to me just what you said, you know, we want to get this right. And because they knew it had been gotten wrong a lot. And so they sent me the first two scripts on the Bible series to go through and, you know, kind of critique. And the first script that they had sent me was the last script in the Old Testament, which deals with a lot of complex history. As you know, I mean, you've got, you know, the Babylonians and the Assyrians and all of this stuff that's kind of going on at the end there. And I thought they really did a great job. I was actually quite pleased. I didn't have a lot of comments where I thought they were off base. And then the second script was the first script in the life of Christ, because the whole second five episodes all deal with the life of Jesus. And I was reading along, and I got to the place where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, and the writer, when John tries to keep Jesus from being baptized, and of course Jesus' response is, "No, it's fitting that we fulfill, you know, all righteousness." But the writer had Jesus responding, "We all need to be born again, even me."
Uh-oh.
And of course, boom, red flags are just up, and I thought, "Oh no, they're gonna do it again. You know, they're not gonna get this right." So I kind of thought, this, you know, I might as well, let's confront this head on. And, you know, they either will say, hey, we don't need somebody like you or whatever. So I just, you know, I think I shot an email off to Mark and said, you can't do this. You know, this is actually heresy. You can't do it. You're going to lose a big part of your audience. And within 15 minutes, he had called me and said, no, this is exactly what we need to hear from you, and we will fix it. And generally speaking, almost anything, any suggestion that was made about fixing something to get it a little more accurate, there were a few things that, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't influence theology at all, but, you know, a part of a story would be rearranged or something. And even if, you know, I lost a few of those battles, but generally they were so responsive, and it was a tremendous, you know, just opportunity working with them on it.
What a great thing. You're listening to You Get the Blessing. This is Chuck King sitting in for Bo Mitchell today, and I'm having the pleasure of interviewing your normal co-host, Bob Belts, about his work in Hollywood and about the things that he's doing in the movie and television industry, and what a terrific platform that is to witness for Christ. So let's talk more about the AD series. Tell me more about that, Bob.
Well, AD, obviously, you know, history, at least in our Western world, is divided, you know, between those years that were before the birth of Christ, B.C., before Christ, and then Anno Domini, which literally means the year of our Lord, which was supposed to represent the year that Christ was born. And there's a lot of debate about that. Some historians think that actually Jesus was born in what would now be like 4 B.C., but at the time, the monk that kind of was working on putting this calendar together, he, with the best of information he had, you know, he was going back to there. So the whole idea is, you know, after what happens after Christ, and the big picture, I would say that you know, right now, AD is a 12-week series, Sunday nights, you know, on NBC. If it goes well, they will then probably do another 12 weeks, and everything depends upon audience, you know, and if the audience continues to respond, their long-term goal would be to tell the whole story up to the time of Constantine, which is 300 years of early history. The reason being that the big story here is, how did a group of itinerant fishermen end up conquering the Roman Empire? And, you know, and of course, Constantine, that's the turning point where Christianity was no longer persecuted by the empire. It was first made legal to be a Christian, and then later actually made the official religion of the empire, which might have been one of the worst things that ever happened to Christianity. But
you know, we continue trying to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so the idea is to tell this big story. But initially, at least in the first two seasons, you know, the first 30 years of church history is contained in the New Testament in what we call the Book of Acts, and it's really a history that picks up from the resurrection and begins with the ascension, really, of Jesus Christ, and then tells a lot of the story of the first 30 years, particularly that which related to, first of all, Peter. So about the first, you know, nine chapters of, and actually all the way up, off and on through 12 of the Book of Acts, the primary character is Peter. And then when you get to Acts chapter 13 through the rest of the Book of Acts, it's all the story of Paul. Actually, it's interesting because Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, writes Acts, and some think that it was almost like written because Paul was in prison at the time it was written and facing the potential of death, and it's almost like he wanted to tell the story. Some people think it was written as part of his defense, even. But it's fascinating because it gives you this, the only glimpse we really have into the very early years of the Christian church. So you have, for instance, one of the episodes will have, again, all three of these things going on, by the way, because a lot of it still is kind of the drama of what's happening in the Roman Empire and, you know, kind of the battle for the high priesthood, which was going on inside the family of Caiaphas, and, you know, how all of those things played together. But you really will have things like, you know, Pentecost is in there. It's this great scene that's been shot, kind of replicating Pentecost. And all the major events of the Book of Acts will be in the series. And at least, you know, the first 12 weeks actually only take you through the 10th chapter of the Book of Acts. So they go into quite a bit more detail than they were able to on the Bible series. So, it's really going to be good.
So our part, listeners, is to make sure that they get rewarded for their efforts. We need to pay attention. We're so quick to criticize Hollywood, and when they do something right, we need to support that.
Yeah, you know, the first episode had 10 million viewers on Easter Sunday night, which was great. And I think, you know, the hope is that that number would continue to grow as kind of the word of mouth gets out. And, you know, it's good enough. The production quality of the series is good enough that even if you weren't, you know, interested in the Christian part, the drama is so intense that it's very captivating. And, you know, so it's the kind of thing you could say to your neighbor, hey, have you seen AD? Watch it. Tell me what you think. And it could generate some conversation, hopefully.
Yeah. And can you imagine, out of those 10 million people, how many people for the first time got a true glimpse of the gospel?
Exactly. And of course, the whole first episode was on the crucifixion. So then on Easter night, they really got to see what Christ, a very, you know, accurate portrayal of what Jesus went through. So,
you know, Bob, I couldn't help thinking when you were talking about it a while ago, as you know, that the intellectuals have tried to change AD to CE for common era.
Right.
Because they don't want to have to deal with that nasty Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
And the very fact that this series is named AD is a big step.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, Roma and Mark have gotten to be, you know, very good friends. And Roma sent me an email. She was in Hollywood, driving down the street, and they were putting up a billboard for the series. And if you drive around LA, everything's on billboards. You know, the next movie's coming, TV series. There's just a ton of billboards. And she had taken a picture of them putting up the billboard for AD because it's got a hill with three crosses on it with Jesus on the cross, and then it says AD, and then it says the Bible continues. And she was just saying it is really amazing to see this billboard going up in Hollywood.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So they've generated a lot of conversation, you know, and there's really a pretty healthy number of Christians that work in the industry. But I would say a lot of them have been fearful to even let people know because the kind of the back history is not real great there in terms of the interface between those communities. But now to have someone of the stature of Mark and Roma doing this, it's really being received quite well.
Without getting too personal, do you think Mark has this has had an impact on Mark?
Oh, yeah, tremendous. I mean, just to see his own kind of spiritual growth, through the process of the Bible, I think it was transformative. I think it probably for all of us, it was a bit transformative, but certainly, from where Mark was when I first met him to by the end of the Bible series and the Son of God movie, he really has made major strides, spiritually, and I'm trying to help keep encouraging him in those ways. So,
what great work. Do keep up the great work, and congratulations to you and your friend who's willing to fund this. So what's your last statement to the people out there about AD and about these kinds of things that are going on in the world today? How can we participate?
Well, support them, obviously. If it's a movie, try and get to it. And if it's a television show, watch it, because it's all about ratings. And the more, where there's, supposedly at least 100 million Christians in America, maybe more. So at the moment, if 10 million people are watching it, there's still a lot of audience out there. And I just would say encourage it that way. And the other thing that really strikes me is just if people would come to Highline Community Church at 10:15 every Sunday morning, we'll be giving you a little, I'm going to kind of coach what's getting ready to happen that night, so you could also get a little bit of an insight on that. So
that is terrific. It occurs to me, it's a great thing to not have Bo here. Because if we can get you on the air, people really learn something.
Yeah, we miss Bo, don't we?
We love
having you, Chuck. You're always great to have. So,
thanks for being with us today. What a treat to hear from Bob about what's happening in the world of Hollywood and how things are being changed by active Christians. In the USSR.